Okay, so let's begin. We're up to the Perek Chav Ches, the story of Ochos. Ben Eshrim Shana Ochos B'molcho. We'll run through the entire Perek. It's not a long Perek. And then we'll come back. We'll look at the Mefarsh. We'll see how we'll do it. Ben Eshrim Perek Chav Ches. Perek Chav Ches. Chav Ches. Ben Eshrim Shana Ochos B'molcho. B'sheish Eshrim Shana Molach B'mishloim. B'le Osah Yashu B'nei Hashem Ki David Ovid. Okay, Ochos was 20 years old when he took the throne. He was 16. He ruled for 16 years in Yerushalayim. Also, he was evil. So here, where the pasuk does not hide the fact that he was evil. Going out, mikotze elakotze. Yes, they learned about Yosem. Yosem was a tzaddik yisod olam. And we learned the Gemara, that amazing Gemara Masechta Sukkah, where Rashbi said that if we would combine my zuchus and my son Eliezer and Yosam, all three together, we can patter the world from din. All harsh judgment, we would be free from harsh judgment in the combined merits of myself, my son, and Yosam. I mentioned to you yesterday, it's hinted to in the Shemona Esrei, it say Hashem Elohim B'Amachay Shul of Israel Asam. Eliezer, Shimon, and Yosam. May Hashem look
in their merit.
The merit of the Ishei Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept their prayers, and may Hashem forgive us for all of our sins. That's another question. Question is Yishei Yisrael going back or forth, right? So the different opinions. That's a machlokes in the last Tosfos in Masechta Menachos. We once spoke about that a few times. The last Tosfos Menachos says the different opinion of what exactly it means. But this is a drush. These three tzaddikim. But what now is so amazing, we're going from such a great tzaddik in whose chus the world exists, and we're going now to Ochos, who was extremely wicked, set into motion what the Churban Beis Hamikdash. You have to understand that Ochos was the predecessor for what Menashe and Amon did. He skipped one generation of Chizkiyahu, but Ochos, he completely put into motion damage in Klal Yisrael that was unrepairable. And its pasuk makes no, does not hide that fact, where it says very clearly, also he did not do Hayosha b'nei Hashem ki David, he did not do Yosha in the eyes of Hashem like David his father. Pasuk base, what did he do?
Why does it say ki David?
So we had that same thing in a couple of many parakim, all goes back to David. He was a descendant of David, and we don't there are a number of Psukim in the last couple of parakim where we go back directly to the source, to David. All of them recognized their yichus, where they came from, and they had a responsibility to live up to their yichus. And when it says David, that really includes Yosam, because Yosam did go in the ways of David, so it's a general description of not following the ways of their forefathers. Pasuk Beis, Vayelech Derechi Malchei Yisrael, what did he do? He went in the ways of Malchei Yisrael, V'gam HaNasechos Osa LaBa'olim, he made Masechos for the Ba'olim. Now this is something which is very interesting, which is subject to much discussion. We don't find much about Masechos. We find people worshipping the Baal, but we don't find anywhere in Tanakh people making Masechos, molten images, in the form or in honor of the Baal. This is not mentioned in Sefer Melachim, and it's not mentioned later when things are destroyed. Whenever we find they're doing tshuva, we don't find them abolishing the masechos. Masechos were made not for Baal; they were made for the image of the sun, the moon, the stars, other types of. So that was, but the masecha was an image of a different type of God. Baal was not a type of God, which was transformed into the image of a masecha. So it was a unique, it was something, a molten image. It was a unique contribution. It was an innovation of Ochos that did not exist. His chiddush. People worship Baal. What exactly is Baal? We once discussed, is Baal and Asherah. Baal somehow relates to the sun. So you'll tell me, if it's the sun, so you make an image of the sun. I don't know exactly what that means, but Baal represented the concept of the sun. Asher represented the concept of the moon. Okay, let's keep that in mind. I don't know more than that. He offered a ketores in the valley of Ben Hinnom. That's also something that is unique, because in Ben, the valley of Ben Hinnom is where they would offer their children, they would burn their children to a god. We don't find elsewhere in Tanakh where they're offering ketores in the valley of Gehenim, of Gei Ben Hinnom. Vayaver es bonav bo'eitz. So it says that Achaz, he passed his children fire. We do not have any record that he had more than one son. The only son he had was Chizkiyahu. And in fact, there's a medrash that says that the mother of Chizkiyahu, I don't recall her name, she smeared him in salamandra.
Yeah.
It's a, where is that gemara? It's the end of one of the, which is the seam of one of the mesachtas. A certain type of fire resistant material, which if you
Sanhedrin,
you smear your body with this material and you are fire resistant. Okay, whatever it is, it's a certain type of material you smear, which prevents protection from fire. And his mother did not want him to be burnt in the fire, so she smeared his body with this material, and he was spared.
Was this Molech, though?
This appears to be Molech. This does appear to be Molech, because Molech was in Ben. It was in the valley of Ben Hinnom. Begay the valley Ben Hinnom. Vayaver es bonav bo'esh. He burnt his children in fire. It says bonav. I can tell you, we only have a record of one child, so we have to say what we said. There was many says v'nei don chushim. That many times in Tanakh we refer to a single child b'loshen rabim as bonim, and you have to say that here as well. It was only Chizkiyahu kisavos hagoyim like v'ibana. Keep that in mind, because we're going to see another pasuk in a few moments, which is going to may indicate that he had more children. But let's, for right now, just keep it in mind. He passed his children fire. Kisavos hagoyim like the abominations of the goyim asher harish Hashem ibn Yisrael, that Hashem drove out before Bnei Yisrael. So here, exactly what the sins that were the sins of the Canaanim that Hashem drove, because of these sins, Hashem drove them out of the land and gave it to Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is now doing the same thing. So obviously, what's going to be Hashem's response? You know better than them. The same way I drove them out of the land, I'm going to drive you out of the land. And indeed, at this point in time was when the Golus began. This was the point in time when Melech Ashur rose to power. And Melech Ashur, in the lifetime of Chizkiyahu, and it could be also during the lifetime of Ochaz, the end of his Malchus, already began the first wave of Golus, of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Aseres HaShvatim were taken out in three different periods of time, starting in the lifetime of Ochaz, and concluding in the lifetime of Chizkiyahu, and that was about 200 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But when the majority of Klal Yisrael is going to Golus, I mean, that's already the beginning of Golus, and this was all started right here and now when he did this Avodah Zarah of burning children to this god in Gei Hinnom. That's why Gehenim is borrowed from this term Gehenim. There's no greater Gehenim than destroying your own children. Pasuk Dalet. Vayezabech, he went and he offered sacrifices. Vayakter babamos, he offered ketores babamos upon bamos, upon private altars. Here it's not l'shem shemaim. Here it's being done l'shem of the zara. V'al hagilos on the hills. V'sachas kol eitz ranan, underneath all different types of leafy trees. Pasuk hey. So what was Hashem's response? Vayitneu Hashem elokah biyad melech Aram. Hashem delivered him in the hands of, and this is discussed in much more detail in Sefer Melachim, Ritzin. Ritzin was, that was the name of the king of Melech Aram. He went and he waged war against the king of Yehuda, Ochaz, and he was beaten. Vayakuvo, and Ritzin, the king of Aram, smote the melech of Yehuda. Vayishbu mimenu shivya gedola, he took many captives. Vayaviu dar mosek, and they were taken to dar mosek, to the capital of Aram. Vagam biyad melech Yisrael nitan, he also had domestic problems. He had a civil war with Pekach ben Remaliah, who was at this time the king of Yisrael. Vayachbo makah gedola, so it's a two-pronged attack. He was under attack by foreign countries, Iran, and he was under attack by the king of Yisrael, Pekach ben Remaliahu. Pasuk Vav, what, now we describe in more detail what exactly Pekach ben Remaliahu, the king of Yisrael, did. Vayarog Pekach ben Remaliahu, Yehuda, Mea, Ve'eshim, Elof, Be'emechat. 120,000 people in one day, Hakol ben Echoyel, all who were killed, victims, were all warriors. The Ozvam, Pasuk makes it very clear, this was in punishment for abandoning Es Hashem, Elokei Avosam, Hashem, the God of their fathers, of their forefathers. So here it was an abandonment of their tradition. Pasuk Zayin, Vayaharog Zichri, now we refer to what he did, Zichri Gibor Ephraim. This person, whose name was Zichri, he killed the Gibor, who did he kill? Zichri killed. Look at Rashi. There's a psik. There's a line in the pasuk. Look at how Rashi explains. Esma. The pasuk Vayarog Zichri. Zichri. Gibor Ephraim. He killed. I'm sorry. Zichri, who was the Gibor Ephraim, he killed Esma Aseyohu ben Hamelach. Now, what does that mean? According to Rashi, it means this was Zichri, the Gibor of Ephraim, killed, according to Rashi's simple interpretation, Maaseyahu, who was the Ben HaMelech, which means Ochaz had another son besides Chizkiyahu, whose name was Maaseyahu. That's how Rashi seems to learn, which means that Ochaz had two sons, had another son, he was Maase Ben HaMelech, and he also killed Vies Azrikam, Negir HaBoyis, Vies Elkana, Mishne HaMelech, the second in command. So this person, Zichri, who was the Gibor Ephraim, who was obviously an assistant, a general to Pekach ben Remaliahu, he killed three very important people. He killed the son of the king, he killed the prince of the bayis, certain title, chief of staff, Negir HaBoyis, and Elkanah Mishne HaMelech, who was the second in command. This is how Rashi learns. Okay, let's now look at the Mitzudas and Rashi and discuss some of these issues. Let's see, start right from the Mitzudas and Pasuk Gimel. It starts with Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Huban. No, that's the previous parak. See, we're going back. Vayavares Pasuk. Let's start with Pasuk Gimel because we have two parak on the page. Pasuk Gimel. Vayavares Banav. He avoides Hamolech. Like you mentioned, he passed his children in the fire, which is the avoda of Molech. Now, by the way, someone learned that at this point in time, Molech was not meant to actually burn the children. The minhag got corrupt. The original minhag was you just pass. It was just a rite of passage. It was an initiation process, and the child was not meant to be killed. The child was just meant to pass through fire like a bris ben avsarim. Hashem, when he took two animals, he split the two animals, and you walk between the two different parts. And the fire also, the Shekhinah represents the fire which went between the two parts. Here as well, it's just you very quickly pass the child over the fire, and you never meant to actually burn the child in fire, but it was a form of initiation or recognition that there is a God called Molech, and you commit yourself, you pledge your loyalty to this God. Over time, over a number of years, people became more and more crazy. They lost their minds. And instead of just doing the process, being an initiation process, they actually would burn their children in this fire in honor of Molech. So they became crazy. They were machmer. They became a shagayim. One thing led to another. And in fact, it got even worse. They actually made a statue, and the statue had hands. And the hands were made from metal, and they would heat up. There would be a fire burning underneath these hands, and the child would be put on these hands, and the child would be tortured, would be burned to death, and they would have people playing drums to drown out the cries of the baby, so the mother and father would not hear their child and have charata and rebel against this crazy practice. But at this point in time, it just says vayaver. Vayaver can mean two things. It can mean to burn, but also can mean to pass over. At this point in time, this was the early stage of this avodah zarah, and it was not actually burning the child. As we know, Chizkiah did not die. Chizkiah was passed through the fire, but Chizkiah survived. I told you the medrash, because his mother smeared him with salamandra. But on the other hand, it could mean that it was never meant, it was just a very quick pass through the fire, it was not enough for him to be hurt.
sees the whole page.
I didn't see this. I'm possibly maybe we should look at it.
All the people that went through fire in their life, starting with
Abraham really?
And Hanani Mishael Azariah.
Okay, let me see. Let's take a quick look. Perik Chav Ches, let me open the Targum. Okay, let's take a look. Perik Chav Ches. Okay, let's take a quick look. I didn't prepare this, but let's take a quick look. Pasuk Gimel. Who asked the Ketorta Bechelas Bar Hinom? And he offered Ketores. He offered Ketores in the valley. Chelas, the valley Bar Hinom. Va'aver Yas Benohi. The Eshto, and he passed his son through fire. The Sheziv Memra de Hashem. And he rebelled against the word of Hashem. Minhon yas chizkia min beglal digle kodem Hashem. I have to really prepare this. I don't know these words.
Yeah.
All right, so let's leave this maybe for tomorrow. Maybe if I have a chance, I'll try to look this up for tomorrow. All the different people that passed through fire. Okay, we'll go further for now. Okay, so we have over here zichri b'gibo back to the mitzudas stavid. Hashem now punished them, and Hashem delivered them into the hands of Aram and the hands of Pekach ben Remalio. Okay, that's already further. Now Rashi here says something very important. Rashi pasuk Zayin, v'yesmaseu ben Hamelech, the son of the king Ochos. So Rashi learns very clearly that this person, Maaseh, was one of the victims. He was the son of the king of Ochos. Harag zichri gibor Ephraim. V'es az rikim. V'es means in addition. For example, dugma v'ayov v'ano v'chein nidram v'rechav v'sus. Different examples where you have multiple names. And it refers, even though the word es does not appear in the pasuk, it's assumed that they were included. Okay, here indeed it does as v'es. The S. Now, I saw in one of the Mepharshim that Rashi seems to have a different girsa. That's why this Rashi here was a little bit confusing. There were other girsos. It could be in Rashi's girsa, the word V.S. did not appear. It just said, Vayarog Zich Gibor Ephraim. It says, Maaseyohu Ben Hamelech. As we come negir habayis el kana mishne hamelach, and that's why Rashi is still telling us vs. He's telling us the word s is missing in the pasuk. Rashi had a different girsa in our pasuk. Otherwise, what is Rashi saying? It says with in the pasuk vs. What?
He's saying insert vs.
Right. He's saying, but we have the ss now pasuk. We already have it in the pasuk. There's nothing to insert. Rashi is telling us insert the word VSVS, and it gives examples where we have the ayah ve'ana, nirdam v'recha v'sus, different examples where you have different items, different, and the word S is missing, and it's assumed you have to add the word SS in between each one of these objects. However, we don't need to do that because in our pasuk the word S appears. So the answer is Rashi indeed had a different girsa. Now part of that girsa, I think most of the Malbim is a little curious from the Malbim, but that the other part, the other interpretation is when it says here Zechariah Gibor Ephraim, he killed Esmas Seyohu ben Hamelech, it does not mean he killed the person Maaseyahu who was the son of the king, but rather the other way around. Maaseyahu ben Hamelech was the son of Pekach ben Remaliyahu, and he was the aggressor. He was the murderer. So the pasuk shall be read, Zichri, who was the Gibor Ephraim, together with. So here S would mean together with this person, Maaseyahu ben Hamelech, they together killed two people. Who did they kill? They killed Azrikam, Negid Habayis, V'es Elkana, Mishne Hamelech. So that's a whole different meaning. And that the reason why some want to learn like that, not like Rashi, using, of course, we have to find different girsos for the pasuk, is because we don't have any record anywhere that Ochos had any other children other than Chizkiyahu. So that would, what's he doing here, this person, Maaseyahu? Who is he? We never heard of him. He was killed, he was a Ben, so it must be, no, Maaseyahu was the son of Pekah ben Remaliyahu. He was the one that killed these other two people. But that is that creates the problem, because the previous pasuk it says that Ochos passed Bonov, his multiple children, to the fire. But if he only had one son, why is it written B'loshon Rabim? So that we explain, you have to answer that Bonov, his children, are written B'loshon Rabim. So in other words, there is no perfect solution. However you want to try, however you want to approach, you're always going to have to give a doichik to answer the problem. Okay, so now let's go further. What happened? Pasuk Ches. So in this battle, after the king of Aram, Ritzin was not so generous. He actually wiped out 120,000. But the king of Pelech ben Remaliyahu, they didn't kill, they took captives. 200,000, women and children, boys and girls, the gam shalol rav bazu mehem by vius ashol l'shem, they brought the spoils to Shimon. Okay, now we could describe something very interesting. The Shom Haya, there in Shomron, when they arrived in Shomron, there was a Navi, Lahashem, who was he? Was Oded. His name was Oded Shemo. He went out in front of the army that was returning to Shomron. He said to them, Hinei, Bachamas Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Al Yehuda Nisanam B'Yedchem. The reason why you were successful in this war in capturing 200,000 women and children is not because of your success, your merit, not because of your skills, not because of any good thing that you have. It's because Hashem was angry at the people of Yehuda for their abandonment of the traditions of worshipping of the Zarah. Vatargu Vam Bezaf, and Hashem killed among them in fury, Ad Lashamayim Higia. This is a hyperbole, some type of expression, that the Churban was enormous. In one day, 120,000 people died, and their Giborim died. They have been punished to a very great degree. V'ata, now, Zaf means anger. In anger, Hashem v'targu bam zaf ad l'shmaim, and Hashem punished them in anger ad l'shmaim until the what has been done has reached the highest heavens. V'ata, now, b'nei Yehuda v'Yishloim atem v'imrim. Now, what are your plans? What are your plans concerning these people, these 200,000 women and children? Obviously, you want to enslave them. You want to take these women as wives, or as pilakshim, and you want to take the children as slave labor. V'ata, that's your plan. V'nei Yehuda, concerning the people of Yehuda, Yerushalayim, atem omrim, your plans are, you are saying among yourselves, lichbosh. Lichbosh means to press into service. This week's Haftarah, Parashas Mishpatim, where Yirmi gave Musa, why have you not freed the slaves? Those are the Jewish slaves. Exactly what's happening over here. Atem Imrim, Lichbosh, to press into service, La'avodim, V'lishvachos, as slaves and maidservants, Lochem for you. So, the Navi says, it's not a good idea. I'm warning you, Halo, Rak, Atem, Imochem, Ashamos, this will only be for you as a sin. As Ashamos B'loshen Rabim, as great sins, LaHashem before Elokeichem. You have to add some words into the pasuk to give it more flavor. But what he's saying to them, if you're going to proceed and implement your plan to enslave these women and children, then it will be considered before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a very great sin, as multiple sins. The Atah, therefore now, Shimu'uni, listen to me, listen to my advice, and let them go. Free them. Let them go back home. V'hashivu hashivya, return the captives, asher shivisem, me'achichem, from your brethren, ki charoin af Hashem aleichem, it's enough. Hashem's fury is against them, and they have suffered enough. You don't need to rub it in by taking for yourselves 200,000 women and children. So v'yakumu anoshim me'roshem b'nei Ephraim. So now we have mention of the people, a few people. These people are mentioned for good. These people are remembered forever. It's a tremendous zuchus that they have, that they listened. They listened to the Navi, and their names are given in their merits. Vayikumu anoshim me'roshim b'nei Ephraim, who were they? Azaryahu ben Yehoichanan, Berech Yahu ben Mishilemos, V'chizkiyahu ben Shalom, V'amosa ben Chadloi, Al Haboy min Atzava, they stood up upon the army. These people, these were leaders, and they presented themselves in front of the army that had in front of them and had in their possession the 200,000 women and children. And they said, we agree to the words of the prophet of Odate, we're going to listen to him, and we demand that you, the generals, release the prisoners.
So they were in Israel?
Yes, well, these are from Yehuda. Mm-hmm. Everyone here is Jewish.
Yeah,
the captains. The army is. Yes, these are from Yisrael. These were the leaders of the government of the Northern Kingdom, and they said they gave instructions to the tzava, to the military, to release the prisoners.
All from
Shevet Ephraim. Well, Shevet Ephraim played a leadership role in the Northern Kingdom because Yerav ben Nevat was a descendant of Ephraim. The whole Malchus was called Al Shem Ephraim. Vayomu lohem. And they said that Shride, listen to what the prophet said. We command the military leaders to release the prisoners. Vayomu lohem, lo saviu es hashiv yehena, do not bring the captives here to Shomron, to society, ki la'ashmas Hashem aleinu. And indeed, the Navi is correct. This will be considered to be a very great sin if we take advantage of our own brothers and we enslave them. Atem oimrim, are you? It's a rhetorical question. Are you the military? Are you people? Are you suggesting lohaysif al chatoseinu v'al ashmoseinu? Are you suggesting you should add to our sins and our transgressions? In other words, they felt guilty that they murdered or they went to war against their own brothers. It got to them that here they were. There was always a civil war going on between the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Israel. Now they felt guilty that they actually killed their own brothers. It's enough. We have enough blood on our hands. It's enough that we should go and enslave our own brothers. Ki rabo ashmo lanu, the sin to us is very great. V'charoin of al Yisrael, and there is anger that is kindling in Hashem against us, not just against the people of Yehuda for their avodah zarah, but it's also kindling against us.
As far as we understand, it's not like. Israel was any more religious than
no.
Yehuda.
Well, that's a very good point. And the Mefarshim make that point. They mentioned that at this point in time, it seems that the people of Yisrael were not so bad. There are different tkufas where the sins of different parts of Klal Yisrael were worse than others. At this point in time, it appears that the people of Yisrael were not terrible sinners. This avodah zara that was taking place in Yehuda was much, much worse because of Ochos. He led the way with Molech, Baal, Masecha, Ketores. We find new things here that never existed. These things never existed before. This thing of Masecha and the Baal was already wiped out long ago. The last time we heard about Baal was by Achav and Izevel. That was a long time ago. And that was not among Yehud, that was among Yisrael. And it appears that when Yehu came and he wiped out that family, the family of Achav, there was no longer Baal. They were doing Avodah Zarah. It was a different type of Avodah Zarah. He's now digging up. It's like he went to the library to look up all the old types of Avodah Zarah, idolatry, to bring it into his land and to improve upon it, innovate, to make a Masecha, to make all different types of innovations. So it does not appear that in Yisrael there was terrible Avodah Zarah. But he tells them, they make these demands, and indeed, Kirab Ashma Halon V'charnaf Al Afal Yisrael. So what happened? Indeed, Pasuk Yedalud, this is to the credit of the Malchus of the Northern Kingdom. They have a very big schus. Vayazov hechalutz es hashivya, so the army, the chalutz is the military, they listened to the command of their leaders, these four people that were specified by name, and they said, okay, you want them? They're all yours. We're leaving. Vayazov hechalutz es hashivya v'yesabiza, they abandoned the captives and the spoils of Nehasarim before the princes of Cholakahol and the entire assembly. What happened? Vayakumu ho'anashim asher nikvu v'shemos, these four people that were mentioned by name, these people back in Pasuk Yud Beis, vayachaziku Vashivya. They took hold of these 200,000 people. The whole ma, what do they do? They clothed them. They were naked. And they had no food. All of the naked among these 200,000 women and children, hilbishu, they dressed min hashalo from the spoils. Vayalbishum. It says another expression. They didn't just put on undergarments. They dressed them in their kavod. Kavod. It says here the word halalisha twice. First, they took away their shame, and then they gave them kavod, dignity. Clothing served double purpose. Takes away your embarrassment and also provides dignity. They gave them dignity. Vayan ilum. They put out, gave them shoes. Vayach ilum. They fed them. Vayashkum. They gave them what to drink. Vayesuchum. They put on oil. They smeared oil on their bodies. Vayenahalum. Bachamayrim. Luchol koshel. And all those that were stumbling, all the weak and feeble among these people were supported. Transportation on donkeys. I guess they put them on an airplane or whatever was the standards of the time. Vayivium Yurechoi ir hatamarim. Eitzelachayim. They brought them to Yurechoi, to Yurechoi, the city of Tamarim, which was near their brethren. In other words, near where they were taken captive from, Yehuda, Vayashuvu, Shimon, and then Vayashuvu, referring to the leaders, these four leaders, and the Hakohol, and all of their assistants, they then returned to Shimon. So this is a very great credit, a very big sukhus that the people of Yehuda did. And the first one is a question, this is a very obvious question, what do we... He's shouldered. What is this doing here in Sefer Divrei Hayamim? We hardly make any mention of what took place in the Malchus of Yisrael. We only focus on the Malchus of Yehuda because this was written at the time of Ezra Nehemiah, and at that point in time the Aseres Hashvatim were long gone. They were in exile. They disappeared, and Ezra Nehemiah was trying to give inspiration, motivation to the people of Yehuda, the descendants of Klal Yisrael, which were primarily from Yehuda. So we don't really make very much mention of what took place in Yisrael. And the answer is, this is a very beautiful story of a very big, beautiful story of nobility, of character. And he wanted, Ezra Nehemiah were pleading with Klal Yisrael to learn from them. To learn from their good ways and to emulate, to do good things. Look at the people of Yisrael. Look at the good midos. Look at the good things that they did. They were willing to restore the captives back to their homeland. You also should follow in their ways and do good things. We take all of your brethren who are in need, who are poor. There was obviously a lot of suffering taking place during this time. It was only 70 years after the Churban, and people were in Galus, and he was trying to inspire them to take the needy and the feeble and give them food and clothing and shelter and restore them back to their homeland, to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a very important message that was selected from all the different things that you can discuss and you can mention about the Malchus of Yisrael. This story was selected to bring inspiration. Let's go back and look at the Mesudos back in Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says, Banu Banos, there were 200,000 captives, including boys and girls, young boys and young girls. Right, they were all killed, exactly. Or they were all killed, or they weren't wanted. They were not good for slave labor. They would rebel. These 200,000 people were taken to be pilakshim, or to be taken as slaves. You're not going to go take an adult man, a guy that's 40 years old, what are you going to do with him? He's ready over the hill. he's not going to listen. You need someone young. He's going to resist. You need someone that you can brainwash. So it was only the banos and the women they took for their own pleasure. Lisnei hatzava, likras hatzava, before the army. Bechamas Hashem ba'avur shebo'ara chamas Hashem al Yehuda lezen nisanam b'yetchem v'loy ba'avur zuchuschem. The prophet Oded said to the people of Yisrael, don't think the reason why you were successful is because of your merits, it's because of their sins. Okay, pasuk, next pasuk, bezaf, anger, bekas, wrath. Zaf means great anger, v'godol ashegia al hashamayim, olorov golo, v'umiloshen melitza. It's an expression. Melitza ko'omer b'hinei b'zeh kiblu de gmulam. He was saying they got enough. They suffered enough. Don't rub it in by taking their women and children as slaves. The Atah now, Hoyel v'kiblu de hagamol, since they have already suffered enough, v'chi meharoi l'chavsham, oy l'avodim u'l'shvachos, is it proper to enslave them? Haloi rak atem, rutzlemer, hashivya, hahi lo l'tovu l'chem, heveisem imachem, it's not going to be for your benefit to take them as your possessions, rak atem evim imachem, ashamos u'b'shoim, instead, this will be considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a very great sin. It's a very great sin to take advantage of your fellow brethren. Again, this week's Haftarah. If you remember, this is very rare that we read this week's Haftarah Parshas Mishpatim, because Mishpatim is usually Shkalim in a regular year, and if it's not Shkalim in a year like this year, where it's a leap year, it's usually either Rosh Chodesh or Erev Rosh Chodesh. So this that we read, I think one of the most, it's the rarest Haftaras to read what we read this parasha, so the Yirmiyah, and it talks about Yirmiyah giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, same thing, that people had slaves, Jewish slaves, Eved Ivri, and Eved Ivri, you only had to keep a maximum for 6 years. And after 6 years, you mechuyev to let you from your slave go free, unless the slave says, Ohavta Yes Adoni Yes Ishti, then he becomes a Nirtz of 50 years. But if the slave doesn't say, Ohavta Yes Adoni, you mechuyev to let your slaves go free. You're not allowed to take advantage. And the people living in his time were taking advantage. And Yirmiyah gave them very powerful Musar. That's exactly what's happening over here. It's the same exact message of Oded. Don't take advantage. The people suffered enough, and let them go free. Don't take them as slaves. Pasuk Yud V'Atoa Now Hoil Halo Rakatem Rostam Hashuvia Hahilo. We did that Pasuk Yud Aleph Ki Charoin Ki Pen Yiacharon Af Hashem Alechem. So it means that if you're going to proceed, implement this plan, Hashem will get angry at you and will punish you. Al Haboim. So what happened? Pasuk Yud Beis says there were some very dignified men, four people from the Rosh Ben Ephraim, and they stood up. Al Haboim. Pasuk. They stood up. They were from the Boim, Al Haboim and Atzava, Leorir Levavam LaAzov Hashvim. They went forward to persuade the military commanders to release the prisoners. Hine, and then Pasuk Yud Gimel says, don't bring these prisoners here El Shoimroin, don't bring it to the capital, Ki LaAshmas Hashem, Es Ashmas Hashem, Rotzalaymar, Divrei, Devarim hanechshavim be'ene Hashem la'ashma. It will be considered before Hashem as a sin. Atem oimrim lohisif aleinu oid al chatasenu asher mi'os. Are you suggesting that we should add to our sins? It's bad enough we murdered our own brethren. Don't rub it in. Don't do more by taking them as slaves. Ki rabba, b'davar hazeh yelonu ashma rabba v'charoin af me'Hashem al Yisrael. And they listened. The commanders listened and they abandoned. Vayaze do what you want. We went tremendous chus. You don't know what that chus did for them. We have no idea what they also, they didn't just abandon the people, they abandoned all the spoils. They gave everything back. And what happened? So then these people who asher nikfu means to be specified. These four people mentioned the pasuk base that was specified by name. They came forward. Azaryahu v'chavev and iskom lamala v'yachzigu b'shiv yeshal yutachas yedem b'rishusam, and they clothed them. V'chol all the people that were naked. Orum, this an unusual word. Pasuk yedalid, it means the people that were naked. V'chol ma'aru mehem, all of those that were naked among the captives. Kol mi b'chem shoya orum mibli levush hilbisha min hashalol v'yanalum nasnu min olim v'raglehem v'yesachum b'shemen v'yanahalum hinhigom al hachamarim el kol mi shecholash enim koyach, anyone that was weak, the nechlash oleches b'raglov eitzelachayim b'nei shift shev yudu, they were returned. A beautiful schus. And in that schus, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what merit they had. Okay, now this was some Rashi. The Rashi on the top of Yekumu Hanoshim Asher Niklu B'Shemos Lamala Mi Heim Oisim Hanoshim Shem Roshim Nei Ephraim. Who are those people that were specified? Azaya Ben Yehoichanan V'Chaveru of the four people listed V'Chol Ma'arubayim Loshon Orum Ve'Eriya, those that were naked were clothed. Okay, there is a Medrash. A Medrash says, there's a Medrash Tinoim. You ever hear of this? Rav Michal? Medrash Tinoim. No. Lidvarim. Tinoim Lidvarim Perik Hay. I never heard of this Medrash. Very obscure Medrash. And it says as follows. It goes on the word Ki La'ashmas Hashem Oleinu. So the Medrash says Sholosh Averos. From all of the possible sins you can do, there are three sins that are the words are Shemegalgalin Bohem al Oisem es kol huavonos. Very interesting. Person does a sin. Okay, so you do a sin. So does Hashem punish you right away? Not necessarily. Hashem says, let's wait and see. Maybe he'll do tshuva. And Hashem can wait and see for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, and maybe Hashem will never punish a person. For whatever reason, Kadosh Baruch Hu will let him live his whole life, and the next world will worry about it. We don't know. But sometimes a person does such terrible sins, that says, wait a minute, you've gone too far, and I can't let you go. And not only am I going to hold you responsible for this particular sin that you have committed, I'm going to punish you now for all of your sins. I'm going to open the books, and every time you said, you spoke to someone during davening, we're going to hold you accountable for that as well. So what are the sins that a person should be aware of that if he does them, if he transgresses, that not only will Hashem be awakened to punish for that sin, it will open up the Sifrei HaZichronos and will be responsible for all the sins that he has done. It's an amazing medrash. So it says here, it's really this pasuk. It's exactly what this, the Navi said. Let's read. Shalosh averos shemegalgalin bohen al osehen es kol avohovonos. Mirishon v'yadachron. From the first sin you did in the beginning of your life to the last sin. The Elohein, hameshabe bar Yisrael. If you enslave your brother, doesn't mean only to enslave, it means you take advantage. You're a mean boss. You have a worker and you work him too hard. Number two, the habo al hagoya, a man has relations with a non-Jewish woman out of marriage. Of course, she's not a goya, she's a bias iser on a goya. The hamechalel es hashabbos. What are the proof? What's the psukim? Here are the psukim. Hamashabed bar Yisrael minayin. How do you know that a person goes and slaves? He harasses in the workplace. Mashabed his friend exploits a worker. Shenemar this pasuk. Look at the words of the pasuk. Vayomru lohem. The Navi said, if you're going to do this, you're going to take them as slaves. Lo saviu es hashiv yehena ki la'ashmas Hashem oleinu. It will be considered to be a transgression. And then the words go on. Atem oimrim. Are you suggesting that you do this? Lo hoisif al chato seinu vi al ashmosenu. To add to our sins and our transgressions. In other words, he's saying that by doing this, you're going to open up a can of worms.
Well, who says he's talking about a Goya then?
No. I'm up to the first sin, not up to that one yet. Once in a time, this is a midrash collection from Tanakh, but one at a time. But in this pasuk, he's saying us, don't do this, because by doing this, there's verbosity in this pasuk. You're going to do this, you're going to be moisif. What is the connotation of being moisif? By doing this, you're going to open up the Sifrei HaZichronos, and all of the sins are now going to be, we're going to be held accountable for all of the sins that we have done. This we've done sins. Alright, those sins are skeletons in the closet. Just don't open the closet. Maybe we'll get away with it. Well, nothing is din v'cheshbon, there's nothing just getting away, but we'll be able to survive. Now by doing this, you're going to be moisif on all the sins. What do you mean you're going to be moisif? Hashem is now going to, that's how the Medrash is interpreting. And everything is going to come out. That's how he's interpreting this pasuk according to the Medrash. It's going to open up a can of worms. Now what about the other psukim? So now he quotes the other psukim, which we learned also together, learned Ezra. V'habo al hagoya minayin shenemar, simul pasuk and sefer Ezra. Ezra, one of his big accomplishments was intermarriage. He solved the assimilation problem. If only had him today in America. What would he do in America, Ezra? He solved the assimilation problem. Vayokem Ezra koyim vayom aleihem atem altim vatoshivu noshim nochrios. You've harbored strange women, goyim, and with the same words lehoisif al ashmas Yisrael, to add to the prior transgressions of the Jewish people. Why is Ezra reminding Klal Yisrael of their sins? What are you reminding? He's telling them, if you're going to do this sin, Hashem is going to be awakened to all of your other sins. And it's going to be a nice collection. And what's the third pasuk? This is Nehemiah's. One of Nehemiah's big accomplishments is Shabbos. Nehemiah was the one who invented Muksa. The din of Muksa, the way we know it today, and there was Muksa time in the Gemara as well, but Nehemiah went to an extreme. And then Chazal later relaxed some of those of Muksa to the way we have it now. But Nehemiah said, "Hamachal is Shabbos and Nam Shemar." The Atem, when he saw that they were not Nizer in Shabbos, he said the same words: "Mosifin Choroin Af Al Yisrael Lechalel Es Hashabbos." Same expression. You're coming to add. What do you mean add? We have a problem with Chil Shabbos. What are you using the expression? You mean Moisef? By being mechalel Shabbos b'farhesia, you're awakening the midas hadin, and all of the skeletons are going to be revealed. It's an amazing medrash. Amazing medrash that he says, when it says only three places in the entire Tanakh, you have such a concept where one sin is being committed, and a Navi, a leader, is giving Musar, and in their Musar, they use the expression, by doing this sin, you're being moisif, which has this connotation, this interpretation, you're exposing all of the other sins. Medrash Tanoim, Tanoim Ladvarim, Perikei. Never heard of this before. It's new to me, but it's an amazing medrash. Okay, so this is. Let's go a little bit further. Vayesi at that point in time, Shalach Hamelech Ochaz. Now, what?
I'm saying it's not in my regular database.
Okay, you gotta upgrade.
I don't think they've upgraded that far.
Boesahi. Now we go further in the. In the period of Ochas. Ochas, they suffered, but they continued to suffer. Now is where really the Golos begins. The Golos is going to start. Now, V'esahi shalach ha-melech Ochas al malchi Ashur la'azelo. He made a fatal mistake. He made a mistake to assist the to ask for assistance from the king of Ashur. He thought that Melech Ashur, he was suffering, the king Ochas, due to his sins, was under attack on all sides. Melech Aram already obliterated him. But now, the Edom is hot on his tail. Now, Edom, remember, the father of Ochaz,
Ochaz is Melech Yehuda. So
Yosam, not Yosam, the father of Yosam, who was Azariyahu, Uziyahu, he went to war against Edom.
Sure.
No. But Edom, let's go Edom. Edom. The reason why he, there was a constant battle. The last few kings were struggling with Edom. They went to war against Edom, and that's why Uzziah became arrogant. Uzziah, he was Makter Ketores. Going back to Parakim, Uzziah, who was Makter Ketores. Why was he Makter Ketores? It got to his head. What got to his head? He conquered Edom. He conquered Edom. And it was a big win, and then he wanted to go to war against Yisrael. And the Navi told him, don't come and fight with me. Okay, but Edom, he prevailed over Edom. So Edom did not take this defeat lightly. And Edom was itching to rebel against Yehuda. And now they had their chance. Now when Aram conquered Yehuda, and when Pekach ben Remaliah, the king of Yisrael, conquered Yehuda, Yehuda was extremely weak and vulnerable. So now Edom decided, now is our chance to rebel and to take revenge for what this person's grandfather did to us. So the pasuk over here says, "The old pasuk Yitzayin, the old Adomim bow." Another tzara, another tzara. Besides Aram and Pekach ben Remaliahu, Edom is hot on their tail. Bo vayaku v'Yehuda vayishbu shem. They also took captives. So that's why at this point in time he was desperate. Who did he seek assistance from? He wanted to bribe Melech Ashur. That was a fatal mistake, because by bribing Melech Ashur, Ashur was given access to Eretz Yisrael, and he looked around and he saw all of their vulnerable points and their weak points, and he was able to use that to his advantage to very shortly thereafter conquer and exile the Malchus of Yehuda. Of Yisrael. He now had access to the land. Pasuk Yud Ches, who else started the fight? It was when it rains, it pours. Ufilishtim Pashtu Bir Hashfela. Now the Pelishtim started making trouble. The Hanegev along the cities of the lowland, the Hanegev, Lehuda, Vayilkutu, Beis Shemesh, and they captured all these very significant cities. They captured Beis Shemesh, Vyes Ayalon, Vyes HaGederos. Gederos is a name. Gederos is a name of a place. Okay, Vyes Socho, Uvinoseha. Socho is the name of a place, Uvinoseha, and its suburbs. Vyes Tindo Uvinosecha, Vyes Gizmo, Vyes Minosecha, Vayeshvu Sham, and they settled there. So here it's really made, because in the past we don't have any reference in all the psukim that the enemy occupied the land. This was a very fatal blow to Klal Yisrael. It's not just that they conquered, they put up settlements. And you know how hard it is to get rid of a settlement unless you're on the wrong side. Unless you're, but this was a very, very, very humbling experience. Ki hichnia Hashem es Yehuda, Hashem humbled Yehuda to a very great degree. Ba'avur ochaz melech Yisrael, because of the sins of Melech Yisrael, ki hifriya b'Yehuda. Because what did he do? Because ochaz, he was ki hifriya b'Yehuda. He made breaches. He went and he took down all the barriers of Kedusha by worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Baal, and Molech, Umo'ol Malba Hashem, and he committed the most horrible transgressions against Hashem. Now what happened? Now begins the real Chubin. Vayavar Lov, Tilgas. So it's spelled different ways, right? In Divrei Hayam Malachim, the letters are exchanged. It's either Tiglas or Tilgas. It's spelled different ways, different places. The letters are interchanged. Pil. Also, it's here it says pil ne'eser. Here it's with pil with a nun, whereas in Sefer Melachim it says pil eser without the nun, just pil eser. Here there are different ways to refer to them. Pil ne'eser melech Ashur, vayotzar lo v'lo chazoko, and he laid siege to the land of Israel, and v'lo chazoko, and he did not help him. He did not assist him. In other words, he was fooled. He was duped. The king of Yehuda, Ochaz, sent an SOS call and sent a promise to Ashur, help me. So instead of helping him, he came. He got a pass, security pass. So they came into the land, and what did they do? They betrayed. They betrayed Ochaz. And they laid siege. Vayotza lo, he caused him pain and suffering. V'loi chazoko, he did not come to his assistance. Instead, Adarabi, he was an enemy. He was a problem. Why? Why did all of this happen? Pasuk of Aleph. Pasuk makes it very clear. Ki cholak Ochaz es beis Hashem, because Ochaz, he divided. Now, cholak over here means it's he gave away the treasures. We'll see in the Metzudas in a few moments. He divided. The reason why he was punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him for this, was because he took the treasures and he split them. He kept part for himself, but he gave away a significant portion of the treasures as a payment to Melech Asher for his assistance. He cholak ochaz es beis Hashem, the treasure of the beis Hashem, the space of Melech v'hasarim, v'hiti l'melech Asher, v'lo le'ezro lo, and he was not to his assistance. He betrayed him. He took it for himself and did not help him. Pasuk of Beis, at the time of Chotzer Lo, at the time when it was difficult for him, so instead of taking this as a sign that maybe Ochaz should do tshuva, no, he went even off the derech even more. Vayosef l'mol b'Hashem hu hamelech Ochaz. He, the king Ochaz. A very strange expression. It's a strange expression that he, the king Ochaz, himself did not change his opinion. He kept on doing bad things. Pasuk of Gimel Vayizbach l'lokei Darmesek hamakim b'lo. Darmesek was the king of Aram. Okay, king, that was the capital of Aram. So Aram, they conquered. So I guess he assumed that since they were so powerful, so it's worthy to serve their god. Hamakim bo vayomer, and he said, ki Elohei malchei Aram heim ma'azrim oisam. Look, the god of the king of Aram helps them. Lohem azabech. Therefore, it's only worthy that I go and I offer the I sacrifice to their gods. Vayazruni, maybe they'll help me. Veheim hoylu lachshilo luchol yisrael, and they, the people of Aram, was a cause of stumbling for him and all the people of Yisrael. Pasuk chavdalid. He gathered the utensils of the base of Migdash, and he chopped them down. He cut down, he destroyed the kalim of the base of Migdash. He locked up the base of Migdash. He built altars all over Yerushalayim, l'shem v'odah zara. Pasuk chafei. Elohim Achirim to offer to Avodah Zarah, Vayach Eis, Es Hashem Lukavoysa, and he angered Hashem. Period. Pasuk Avav, the Yeser Divar Dvarav, Vachol Durachav, Harishon of Achonim, Hinam Kesuv Misalsev Malcha Yehud of Yisrael, Vayishkav Achas Im Avoysav, he died, Vayikberu, Beir Bushalayim, Kilo Hevi Lekivrei Malcha Yisrael, they did not let him go into the Kivrei, into the Kavarim of the kings. He was not buried vayim because he was viewed as a Rasha, and they would not allow him into the Kivrei Malchei Yisrael. Vayim loch Yechizkiyahu v'no tachta. Let's take a look at the mitzudos and the Rashi's, and then we'll stop. Just a few mitzudos. We have over here in the mitzudos stuff. We're up to pasuk tezayin. Bo'esa, he at that time shenilcham boy melech Yisrael. At the same time when he was fighting with the king of Yisrael, he had another tzara. He had the tzara of the Edom. Who did he hire? He hired the king of Asher. What happened? The Edom came and they conquered. The Pelishtim also made trouble, and the Pelishtim they were pashtu be'ori hashvil v'negev be'harim be'harim she'amdu be'emek in the valley u'be'arim. Hadraimim in the south Shal Yehuda. Why did all of this happen? Pasuk Yitas Mitzudos Ki Hifriya Yehuda Hu Gila Maasehem Horaim Ki Al Yado Also Bepirsum Rav. Ki Hifriya means to expose. When a woman uncovers her hair, it's called she's Pararosha. She uncovers. So here the Mitzudos is telling us that this was a change in approach. Until this point in time, even though there was Avodah Zarah, it was not out in the open. When people did Averis, they worshipped idols, it was still a hate. You want to do Avodah Zarah, we'll tolerate it, you can do Avodah Zarah. But for public relations, we still want to have a reputation that we are the nation that serves Hashem. What changed in the time of Ochos was, it became public policy to or to do worship idols. And that's why this expression here is used, ki hifriya b'Yehuda. He made it, he uncovered. Lashon uncovered. He uncovered the fact that we do have Avodah Zarah. It's not something that's done in hiding behind closed doors. It's public policy. It's legitimate. It's part of the law. It's part of the constitution of our country. That's what it says. Hu gila masem harom ki al yado through ochas also be person raf. Umo'ol, v'gam u'atzma mo b'Hashem, the king himself committed the crimes. It wasn't just the people. Vayotza lo, imshu shalach lo elav le'azho. He asked Melech Asher. He asked him to help him. Hitzer lo, he betrayed him. He double-crossed him. He caused him pain. Od v'lo choskul kasha shomen, who did not assist, like he asked, v'av shenulcham b'avuroi, in melech haram, k'mashom b'melochem beiz, mikomokom lo yichoshev la'azor choyl, v'hu heitzu lo b'soif. Now there are more details, which we have to go through, b'l'nei tomorrow. There are things that appear in Masech Melochem that not appear here. There were some details there mentioned that he did assist. That he did assist in fighting against Aram, but it was all really not for the ultimate good. Even though he did assist him in the beginning, he did help him, but at the end he caused more harm than good. Ki cholak, af ki cholak ochas es oitzros tanim se beis Hashem v'nos nechilik a echel lemelech asher af apichein lo hoyo lo le'ezra. So according to the mitzvot, ki cholak is an explanation. Ki cholak, even though ochas was kind and he gave away half of the treasures of the beis hamikdash, of the palace, to Melech Asher for assistance, he was still betrayed. Still, v'lo le'pasuk and pasuk of Alf concludes v'lo le'ezra lo, he did not assist him. Pasuk of Beit says that ve'es hotzer lo, and when things got really bad, instead of taking this as a sign, maybe it's time to do tshuva, he went off the deep end even more. Uve'es heitzar lo be'es shehoyetzar lo lo shav la'ashem ki im od v'hoisef l'mol yoser, he rebuilt even more. Hu ha'melech, now what does this mean? What is an unusual expression? Hu? Hu in Chazal always means be'ha. Havoyoso Yehei, consistent. There's no let up. There's no break from beginning to end. Hu Achashverosh, Hu Birishosoi, Hu Mirishosoi Mitchilosoi V'Atsoi, from the beginning until the end. Rotzaloimar Kol Yom of Hoya B'Havoyoso V'Lechazabo. Same exact expression. That's what's in Mitchilosoi V'Atsoi. In fact, this is a Gemara in Masechet Megillah that talks about Mamash Ochas. It compares him to Achashverosh. Okay, further. Ahu HaMelech, Kol Yom
Avuim. There are actually five
people that have who?
People that have five for good and five for evil.
Okay.
And
I'll read you the Medrash. You're referring to Medrash Tehillim. But sometimes it's for good also. Sometimes what who is useful. Let me read you the entire Medrash. Pamim l'toyva pam l'rosh. Shenemar hu hoya gibor tzayit. It says that by Nimrod. Nimrod. Hu Esav avi Edom. Number two. Hu dasan v'aviram. Nimrod, Esav, Dosan, Hu Hamelech Ochos, four, Hu Achashverosh. Okay, so five people, who it says the word who, Nimrod, Esav, Dosan V'Aviram, Ochos, and Achashverosh, Mitchilosoi V'Atsofo, they were wicked. On the other hand, we have who that's for good. Who's for good? Who Avraham? Avraham was a tzaddik from beginning to end. Next, number two, who Aaron and Moshe? Okay, who Ezra? Number three, Ezra. Avuhu Chizkiyahu, as Chizkiyahu was from beginning to end. So we have four. We come to Aaron and Moshe was one. We count.
That's one. The fifth one is V'David hu hakatan.
Okay, David is number five. It doesn't have that in this medrash here. Okay, so you have five different people considering who it says who. One more time, the five are Avraham, Moshe, V'Aaron, we're counting as one unit, Ezra, Yechizkiyahu, and David.
I like to call it the who's who.
The who's who. Wow.
I couldn't get it in the book.
Ooh, that's a really good one. That's a really good one. Okay, let's finish up. We have a few more mitzvot. When we'll finish, when we'll finish the mitzvot, so Melech Batsa Mahamakim Hu Chozalan She Damesek. Hu Hamakim Hu Chozalan She Damesek. He's the one that Hu Chozal Chaf Gimel says he offered to the gods of Damesek. Who goes back on the people of Damesek? Okay, lahachshiloi ki bavur zehoya Hashem anshay odiosa, because he did not do tshuva, Hashem punished him even more. What did he do? Pasuk, very strange pasuk. He cut down pasuk chav dalid. He shut down the Beis Hamikdash, and in the process he vayikatzitz es klei Beis Elokim kolaf v'choras mehem es azav. He peeled off. Here it doesn't mean he cut down, he peeled off all the gold and silver in the Beis HaMikdash, and he used it for his purposes, either to pay the king for a bribe or to use it for himself. Yiskar Leval Yavam Beis HaMikdash was shut down. Can you imagine? Beis HaMikdash was closed. He shut down the Beis HaMikdash. Kilo Pasach of Zion says that Vayishkav, he was buried, they did not bring him to the Kivur Malchus Yisrael. Why not? Ba'avur Godel Rish Oso. I guess it was controlled by the Haredim. The Haredim controlled. The Chevrei Kadisha still had control who gets buried in the Kivrei David. And they refused to allow Ocha's entry. Malchei Yisrael. The question over here is, why over here are we calling it the Malchei Yisrael? This is the Malchei Yehuda. So why do we call the cemetery, why is the Chevrei Kadisha of Yehuda called the Chevrei Kadisha of the Malchei Yisrael? It should be called the Chevrei Kadisha of the Malchei Yehuda. The Torah says, because this Chevrei Kadisha goes back to the time of David and Shlomo. And the time of David and Shlomo, there was no division. The Malchus of Klal Yisrael was not divided until Rechavam. And at that point in time, there was no difference between Yehuda and Yisrael. In fact, the whole Klal Yisrael was called by the name of Yisrael. Memela, we call it Yisrael Malchus. Ki gam David Shama Nikvu Shama Asher Choyu Gam Malchus Yisrael. Okay, we have to do Rashi. We'll do the Rashi's Mishnah tomorrow, and we'll discuss Mitzvah Shem some other Midrashim tomorrow.